We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, another episode of the New Orleans Dot Football Podcast. I'm Nick Underhill here with Mike Triplett. We're going to break down the Saints Super Bowl window, where things kind of stand with them going forward, what the outlook for the team is after hiring Clint Kubiak as offensive coordinator.
They're throwing a parade for it back there.
People should be, man. It's a big move for them to get him. But yeah, a lot of good stuff going on with the team right now. We're going to break it all down on today's show. And what's always going good every single morning, PJ's Coffee, our presenting sponsor. Make sure you check them out. And if you need a new car and you aren't going to ride around in a Mardi Gras float, check out my guy, Matt Bowers, Ford dealership right behind us. But he has dealerships, all kinds of different brands all throughout the region. Best prices, best customer care, best car salesman in the whole entire galaxy. That's where I buy all my cars. If you want to be taken care of, Matt will take care of you. All right, let's hit these ads. The New Orleans Dot Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86-proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Top Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. All right, let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Friend & Company is the official jeweler of the New Orleans Saints. And if you're getting engaged coming up on Valentine's Day, make sure you go check them out. They got rings in all kinds of different prices. They're very affordable. They'll work with you. They'll get you what you need if you're just trying to get started out in your journey, or if you need to buy that big ring to make a statement, they got you covered every which way. And while you're there, make sure you check out their Florida Lee ring or their earrings and necklace. They are specially priced for our NOF audience. All right, Saints got Clint Kubiak. I'm guessing emotions are elevated a little bit with Saints fans. We're already seeing that. People are kind of excited a little bit. I don't know if it changes the big picture in terms of the Super Bowl window, but is building a team that has any type of hope of getting there still realistic? Or should they be backing off on the expectation? Should they be going lukewarm in the middle, trying to serve both, rebuild while kind of clearing up some cap space, or is it time to blow it up, which I think we both agree they aren't going to do and probably isn't the most viable option. But out of those three, like, yeah, where are you going in your direction of team building? And is that Super Bowl window existing at all in any type of capacity?
There's a lot of different kinds of 9-8, right? There's the Texans and the Packers who are 9-8 and they feel great about where they're heading at 9-8. And there's the Saints 9-8 that kind of feels stale and it's like not noble to want to just be in the middle. I'm not tearing it down, but I am feeling like a team that needs to rebuild my future. I want to use all my draft picks. I don't want to trade my future draft pick. I don't know if the bottom could drop out on this thing. I don't want to trade next year's picks and then have it end up being a top five pick. God forbid the number one pick like the Carolina Panthers. I don't want to spend a ton of money on older guys and just try to plug holes right now. The only way the Saints are ever getting anywhere is replenishing their young talent. But in the meantime, yeah, keep going for it. I mean, Tampa Bay is kind of the model, right? They actually caught up on their salary cap this year too. And oh, by the way, they didn't decide to not compete and they won the division. They made it to the second round of the playoffs. I have no problem with the Saints trying to do that because they still have really good players on this team. Those players are a lot older than they were 3 years ago. I was way more for the go-for-it plan right after Drew Brees retired than I am now. But as long as you are not wasting future resources and you still realize how important it is to add draft capital and young guys that are going to be the future of this team, yeah, go ahead and try to win 10, 11 games next year. I think they it's possible. I think they could. We thought they were supposed to win 11 this year, and that's why everyone's so mad at them, because they didn't.
It's tough for me. Like, I'm still, even with Kubiak, like, I'm still a little bit, I feel a little bit, I don't know what the right word is, battered by him a little bit. Like, yeah. just the expectations of every single year not being met has just kind of led me to a place where it's like, I'm not doing it again. Like,
yeah.
I'm just not.
No kidding.
Like, I got to see it. Just show it to me. Go do it. Go prove it. You know, this is the first time I think ever since, and look, there were some bad stretches in there with 7-9 and all that stuff. There were some bad stretches in there where I think it would have made sense to back off, and they even did back off at some point. But like, philosophically for me, it was always like, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep building it. And it always felt like you were building towards something. And I don't know if that is there anymore for me. Like, you can go out and do it, and I'm not going to say it's the wrong thing to do, but I'm not also going to be like, yeah, that is the absolute right approach. They should be going all in. They should be trying to do all this stuff. It kind of just feels like I got to see it at this point. Like, you got to make the right moves. You got to put the stuff together. But I'm definitely not the tear it down guy. I'm philosophically opposed to that, and I probably always will be. I do agree with you that I don't think I want to mortgage too much with my picks because, you know, I don't know if you made the point or not, but like, they could be bad at some point and you're giving up too much. So yeah. That's also on the table. But I'm not fully pedal to the metal, like, you know, being the guy that's saying, yeah, they should go for it. They should go for it. And I think that's kind of been my station for several years, but
they finally broke you.
I don't know that they broke me. It's just kind of like,
they had,
if you
look,
do
there,
it, just show
were,
me it works.
There were two reasons why the last couple of years were different than now, though. Not every year is built the same. A couple of years ago, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Teron Armstead when they still had him, Ryan Ramczyk, DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, Marshawn Lattimore, they later added Tyrann Mathieu. These guys were all still in their prime, or at least about to enter just past their prime. But that was an elite collection of talent still, even after Drew Brees retired, and the NFC South was just gutted. Now, I still think there's an opportunity in the NFC South. You made this point that Tampa Bay, who's won it the last 3 years in a row, is probably going to get worse. I don't know how much better Atlanta will be. It'll depend on the quarterback Atlanta gets. But I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to be motivated by this is our chance to win, so we the future be damned, let's go win it this year. But I have no problem with them trying to stay competitive.
No.
When you brought up 14, 15, and 16, they kept Drew Brees, they kept Cam Jordan, they kept Teron Armstead, and pretty much replaced 48 other guys. They still had Sean Payton, obviously, as a coach. But you can do it that way. You can rebuild without tearing it down to the studs.
Yeah, I mean, I think you articulated the point I was trying to make a little bit better than I did. Like, I'm not philosophically opposed to them trying to still win games, but it's just like the all-in aspect of it is just kind of like, I don't know about that. But yeah, I think you still keep trying to get better. You're always building your team. You're always building your team. It's just, you know, are you going 100 or are you going 65? Or are you, you know, 5 miles over the speed limit or way more? And that's kind of where I feel like they got to try to figure out that balance. But I mean, absolutely, the NFC South is eminently winnable right now. I mean, Tampa Bay, you know, Baker's going to make $40 million, probably not this year, but like, his contract's probably going to be worth $40 million every single year. Mike Evans is out of there. There's no way I see him coming back.
I think they had like a list of, I think they had like six free agents that are like key players on their team. Yeah.
Yeah. And Canales is gone. I think that's a huge hit to Baker. You're taking away his best receiver and the guy that elevated him to new heights. I mean, I think inevitably they're going to fall back a little bit. And as much as I cannot stand there, like, let's just get into the playoffs and make it happen. Like, it kind of is a thing that's real. Like, we saw it this year all over the NFC. It was just like, wow, all these teams actually do have a chance. Detroit was a very beatable team. San Fran, you know, looked right for the picking in the first half of that game. So I think you just kind of do try to get in there. And you should be building to something higher, but it's kind of hard to tell them that they're wrong, where if you can be Green Bay level, I mean, you had a decent season. Tampa Bay level, you had a really good season. That's a successful season, I think, for where they're at. Obviously, Super Bowl is always a goal, and it's not just making the playoffs. But I don't love that thinking. I kind of hate it. But it's as a rational thinking person, you can't look at it and say, well, they're super wrong. Like, it's just like, it's only really like, I kind of don't like this. But
well, and it doesn't matter, because even if there were people in the world who believe in rebuilding, it's certainly not Dennis Allen, who is on the hot seat, very much on the hot seat, and Derek Carr, who's about to be, what, 33 years old and needs this to work. Like, those guys are all in, that's for sure. So, yeah, I mean, that's how this team is built right now.
Yeah, and Mickey's going to do everything he can to support him. Nothing we've seen or heard or felt or thought suggests that there's going to be anything less than a full effort. I expect them to go. I expect them to be aggressive. I really do. I kind of think they're going to go after it.
Good, if that means. Me and Kevin talked about this on the Members Only Pod last week. Sign that one pass rusher. I'm going to feel better about him. They got to hit on the draft. No matter which, if you like this plan, if you like anything in between, they have to hit on their draft picks. But honest question. Rational Nick. I'm talking to Rational Nick now. Let's say it's May 1st. They've gone through free agency and the draft. Do you think you're going to be picking the Saints to win the NFC South this year?
I probably do. Yeah. I mean, I really kind of honestly think I will. And that's before seeing anything. I just don't. Atlanta's got to get a quarterback. I don't think Carolina's going to be significantly better. I think Tampa Bay takes a step back. I kind of think it's still the Saints. And it hasn't been their division for a while, but I think it is kind of, I think it's very winnable.
It's theirs to lose. But they just keep losing.
Yeah, kind of. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if it's not them, it could be, they're in the mix. I mean, they're one or two. They're definitely one or two. How about you?
I bet I'm going to be picking Atlanta, because I bet they get a quarterback that I like. I bet they either trade up in the draft, sign Russell Wilson, trade for Justin Fields. I know those guys aren't world beaters, but even if they get that middle tier quarterback, I think everybody's going to be picking them, and I'm probably going to jump on that bandwagon. I know they're not going into next year with the Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke twosome again.
So they're going to be the Saints of last year,
this year. But look, everything but quarterback, I like the Falcons now better than I liked the 2023 Saints.
That's fair. Speaking of Derek Carr, let's get to our money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Derek Carr contract structure is inevitable. It was written in stone when they wrote it in ink. I mean, it's just kind of the way they do it. If you've been looking at their contracts at all over the last few years, there's always year one, and then, oh, wow, here's this thing in year two, you got to move. Like, it's just kind of how they sign people. It's what they do. A lot of the reactions to this will be that it marries the Saints to them any longer. Do you see it that way? What are the downsides of reworking the deal, if there are any?
I do not see this as marrying them to Derek Carr longer. It's completely inevitable to me that they're going to restructure him. They're $82 million over the cap. Why not restructure the guy who you can save $23 million of that right now? Because if you don't save it from Derek Carr right now, then you go and you save it from Cam Jordan and Ryan Ramczyk and other guys that are going to cause the same problems next year. It's all just math. Here, let me break down Derek Carr's contract just so people understand. And I know this stuff gets confusing, but he's due $30 million this year, fully guaranteed. It's his salary. They're going to convert it to a roster bonus. Either way, they're just paying him the $30 million that he's owed and that they guarantee him. They're also going to guarantee a 2025 $10 million roster bonus. That was written into the contract. He's going to get it. There's some offsets. If they cut him, maybe they would get that money back. But let's just say they're paying it. So they're going to give him $40 million new dollars this year. That's going to get paid out over 2 years. Then they gave him the money last year. On the books, for salary cap purposes, that will eventually add up to $62.8 million. That will be on their books no matter what. The only difference now is, do they want it to be $35 million this year and $27 million next year, or do they want it to be $12 million this year and $50 million next year? Either way, it still adds up to $62 million. Either way, there's still cap carryover. Either, like, it's just when, you know, it's layaway, down payment, or whatever. None of it means you have to keep Derek Carr. It's just, when do you want to account for this money that you can't get rid of no matter what? I do not think that means they couldn't cut him next year if they wanted to cut him. If they draft a quarterback in round one this year, they can still cut Derek Carr next year. But they're still going to have to move his money around. None of that means they're guaranteeing a third year for Derek Carr. He's not getting any more guarantees if they do this.
Yeah, so basically it's kind of a horse apiece. Like, you got to pay it one way or another. Yeah. But look, they could get there without touching him, opening up the cap space. But, like, this is what you would have to do. And I did this very quickly, just basic restructures within the confines of their current contracts. You can always add voidable years to it. But if you just do basic restructures to where you're doing the least amount of damage to the cap, you know, if people are worried about that, these are all the ones that you would have to hit. And it opens up $2.3 million in space. Lattimore, Ramchak, DeMario, Taysom, Alvin, McCoy, Granderson, Matthew, Ruiz, Juwan Johnson, Marcus May, Cam Jordan. Restructure all of them, you got $2.3 million in space. So you got nothing. Like, you're signing a couple league minimum guys. So if you, obviously, adding the void years to that, you can stretch that out a little bit more, get a little more space, but you're still not doing a lot of damage there. You got a couple guys to re-sign. So you do that, and you're still basically, you aren't doing any shopping in the free agency market. And then you go hit the car one, and boom, you got like $45 million to spend. Like, why wouldn't you just do it? Like, it's the most sensible thing.
Now, look, let's say they cut Derek Carr next year because he has an even worse year and they definitely want to rebuild.
$23 million after that, yeah.
But let's say they do cut Derek Carr next year. There'll be a joke. They'll be like, he's got $50 million in dead money left on his contract, and they'll figure out a way to make it a June 1st release. So it's like, what part of it that year, part of it the next year. And that $50 million is going to hurt. But you're just moving it to next year instead of this year. If he costs $35 million against your cap this year, that would hurt you this year. You know, like, either way, it hurts. Either way, they spent a whole lot of money on this guy. And if they had to cut him after 2 years, that stinks. That means you're rebuilding or whatever. But you don't take a huge car hit this year so that maybe you don't take a huge car hit next year. It just doesn't real that part of it doesn't have to come into the thinking, as in my opinion.
Yeah, no, either way, I mean, it's a crash, not an accident, you know, so you won't want that. But look, I think he's going to be on the team for a while. Like, I don't think this cutting scenario isn't even a thing. Like,
right.
I don't think it's part of their thought process. It's the thought of the thought process out there. We've discussed it. That's kind of immaterial, though, because it's not a real thing. Like, they aren't getting rid of – the only way Derek Carr isn't on this team is if they win six games and everybody gets fired. That's the only way he's not on this team. Otherwise, he's here. Like, I don't see them moving on from him. I don't think it's even part of their thought process at all. And, you know, kind of honestly, the way he finished the season, and this is going to piss people off and they're going to, you know, whatever. But I don't think you should be cutting them right now. Like, I thought he finished the season on a note to where it's like, all right, try to make it work. Maybe you bring somebody else in behind them. You draft a rookie if he's there. I think that's where I'm different from them, is that I would be making that probably a priority in the first round. I'd be looking at where I'm sitting, and it kind of goes against what you like. Yeah, I would move up assets to go up and get a future asset. Like, if you're getting a quarterback, that's not necessarily about now. I would move up assets from then to do that, to kind of make that move. But I don't think that's even in their realm of thinking right now. So it's something that is going to be talked about, but it's not real.
Kevin and I had a very similar conversation on the Members Only podcast. I recommend everyone check it out, the one we published late last week. And I said the exact same thing. I said, all this talk about, should we be going for this year? Should they be rebuilding for next year? If you see the quarterback, go get him. That is perfectly fine with me. Then all of a sudden, like I said, if I've got Jaden Daniels and Chris Olave, or if they love one of these guys that's there at the 14th pick, then now at least I know what the direction of my future is. Like, and I'll take a couple losing seasons if I know I've got the guy. I do not love the idea of trading next year's first to get that guy, because then you're using this year's first and next year's first on a guy, and chances are they're not getting up to number one or number two. So you're using two first-round picks on a guy that is not a sure thing. I mean, even Bryce Young wasn't a sure thing last year. But if they want to use that 14th pick or maybe move up to the 12th pick or whatever and do something like that, if you've got a quarterback of the future that you're sold on, that trumps everything else we were talking about.
I would go with it, though. I mean, like, I would move up if I had, like, the Mahomes thing. Like, they had an outrageous grade on him and didn't move. And it's I think it's the greatest mistake in team history, without a doubt. All right, We're going to get into some other stuff coming out of the break. Question of the day, talk about the running back position and where it ranks on the list of needs and a couple other things right after this ad break.
It's carnival time at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Our gumbo combos are back. Enjoy our hot gumbo, fries, and your choice of shrimp, catfish, soft-shell crab, or frog legs starting at $9.99 at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience. All right, welcome back to our studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. If you need a new car, make sure you check out my guy, Matt Bowers, Ford dealership right behind us. Newly opened, newly renovated, but same great customer care and prices. So make sure you check out Matt if you need a new car. They'll take care of all your needs there for sure. All right, it's time for our moment of the day presented by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. You started your series ranking the Saints' position needs. Running back ranks low on the list, partly because it's not going to be something that they need to use major resources on. But what's the outlook for that position to you?
It's crazy. I had it so much higher last year. I think three or four. And then they signed Jamal Williams, draft Kendre Miller, and now I have it ranked second to last on the list. That doesn't mean I think they solved it with those guys. And Alvin Kamara got another year older, and he's a year away from his contract blowing up. So I feel kind of silly having it that low on the list. I think it just speaks to they've got needs at every position. But, I mean, those are probably the three guys they're going to roll back. Like, I'm not looking at high-end free agents. I'm not using my first or second-round pick on a running back this year. I'll take another one in the middle rounds maybe. But so for that reason, I think that's who you're going to war with this year is – Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams, and Kendre Miller. And I sure hope Kendre Miller pans out for them. At least they've got someone that they're going to take a look at. Eventually, this will probably be a position they need to address again. But with the new offensive coordinator, with hopefully a more effective run scheme, maybe those three can be what we thought was a pretty deep and rich position heading into last season before it wasn't.
Let me not say that as hard as I was going to. I don't have a lot of hope for Jamal Williams at this point.
Yeah, that's fair.
I've kind of moved on from that one, but I think
it's not impossible that they move on from. They don't save a ton of money, but if you don't want to pay him another $3 million, if you don't think he's better than the replacement level, it's something they'll consider too.
I think by July, I'm probably going to talk myself into thinking Kendre Miller's a Pro Bowler. By the middle of
By
the middle of next week, like I'm going to think that Alvin's going to be like resurgent. Like I think the Kubiak thing is going to be huge for all of them, but especially Alvin. You get him some space to run. You give him some stuff to operate out of. You get a little bit more creative. He isn't running into an 8-man box every single play anymore. Like I think there's a lot of stuff that they can do to make life easier on him, and then that's going to elevate his numbers a little bit. Look. I think Christian McCaffrey, and it's weird to say this because the beginning of his career, he was so injured, but like he's probably aged a little bit better than a lot of people in the league, probably someone that's taking that mileage off. But I think it's the system too. And I think that system's going to help Alvin a lot. And I think Kendre Miller does actually have like star talent. It's just being on the field, being healthy, doing all that stuff. But it can't hurt anyone getting a guy from San Francisco here to help, you know, scheme up the run game.
Do you feel a need to add any significant resources to that position whatsoever?
Define significant.
First or second round pick? No. Or free agent money at all?
Maybe,
really, I mean.
Maybe a couple dollars, but like, I wouldn't go crazy at this point. I mean,
a veteran doesn't fit unless you're taking someone out of the mix.
I think you would have to shuffle out Jamal probably. Yeah. But I mean, if Kendre's healthy, like you really don't need that guy anyhow. So like where are you placing? Is it a bet on Kendre? You know, I would backstop that a little bit. Significant? No. I mean, I'm not
One of those comp picks in the fourth or fifth round, sure. But
I'm not trying to bring somebody in ahead of Kendre at this point, like just kind of behind him. I don't think so.
Yeah, a year from now, we could be singing a different tune. Alvin Kamara will be one of the major talking points next offseason. But hopefully he's rejuvenated by the new run scheme they bring in and the new offensive coordinator they bring in.
He's definitely got to be excited. I mean, there was a lot of frustration. I don't think it was necessarily with you know, just Carmichael, but everything in general. But I think he has to be thrilled to kind of see this news come together a week from now when it's actually official. All right. Time for our Martin's question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of handpicked barrel select bourbons, whiskeys, and more. Martin's, so much more than just wine. Sydney Saint asked, with Hurst below par performance, Pete out the door at left tackle, and question marks over Nick Saldivari, do the Saints need to get a bona fide starter at guard this offseason? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, but Hurst is a tackle/guard. Pete is a tackle/guard. Trevor Penning might become a tackle/guard. I'm okay with addressing one spot or the other on the left side. I'll take a left tackle in the first round. Let those three guys fight it out for the left guard spot. I'll take a left guard in the second round. Let those guys fight it out for the left tackle spot. One way or another, and actually it might be easier to find the left guard. Like that 45th pick they have from the Broncos might, you know, I'd feel pretty good about getting an Eric McCoy level player, maybe even a Cesar Ruiz level player with the 45th pick. That would solve a lot of problems. And then let everyone else battle it out for one spot. If Trevor Penning doesn't pan out, you've got Pete or you've got Hurst. I want one or the other.
I would like them to raise the bar at tackle, though. I mean, I really would. Sure. If they can go out and elevate that a little bit, I think it would be huge. And then especially just kind of with, like, the more emphasis on the run game and everything, I think being better at both them spots wouldn't hurt. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. One or the other, at least. If you give me the preference, though, and absolutely, it's going to be cheaper and easier to find a left guard than a left tackle. I think you do have to bring back Pete no matter what and kind of try to figure that out. But it's going to be interesting, though. Like, some of these guys might not fit, you know, the ideals going forward. So maybe Trevor Penning doesn't even fit the thought process at guard because they want a different type of guard, or Andrews Pete doesn't. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see kind of how everything changes a little bit, bringing in the new guy. All right, we're going to do two of these. Second one comes from Lars Rimfalk. Will A.T. Perry be a solid number three, or will the Saints draft a wide receiver? And if they do, in what round? He thinks it's worth a shot in the sixth or seventh.
Well, sixth or seventh round, I mean, yeah. I count on nothing from those guys. They got A.T. Perry there, so of course they pan out on something like that. Yeah, the draft class can include another receiver. And they could take a receiver in the first round. They can sign a receiver in free agency. I mean, there is room to add another pass catcher. But so I'm not saying I'm set. Olave is my one. Shahid is my two. Perry is my number three. I don't need anything else. But Perry will be part of this mix. And I'm excited to have him as part of my team if I'm the Saints with what I saw last year. If he's the four, all the better. Some days he'll be the two. Some days guys will be hurt. Some days he'll be featured. Some days he won't. But I love that I have three. We have three of the top four that we can write in ink right now, I think, with him.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm fine anywhere with it. Yeah. Honestly, like if you get the next Mike Thomas or whatever, like I don't care that you bypass something else because in November you're like, damn, they got like a superstar, a wide receiver, or the next Olave, whatever. I'm a different type, but you know what I mean? Like that level of production, I'm fine with it. So, and it's a high value position now. Like you have to overpay to get these guys. Yeah. It's not necessarily a top level need, but I think if you have, you know, three guys that have Pro Bowl talent, like on the field, cool, go do it. Like I'm fine with that, honestly. So I'm not adhering to any round. I think theoretically though, if you're like, you know, have me ranking them or whatever, like I'm not putting it above pass rusher, tackle. There's a lot of things that I'm putting ahead of wide receiver, but if you have transformative talent, go get it. Like, I'm totally fine with that either way. All right, that's going to do it for us on this one. We're going to have a whole lot more on Clint Kubiak throughout the week. Make sure you check that out. Show will be back Wednesday. It's 7 o'clock. For everything else, make sure you sign up to New Orleans.football. Use the code MOTION to save 20% off your first payment, and we'll see you next time.